Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. That company is GEICO. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time.
Now, Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio. A downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Hey, everybody, Spike's Car Radio, we're back. Oh, it's good to be here back in this room and talking about cars. We've got a great show for you today. We have someone I've never met. Her name is Candace Springs. She was offered to the show. Here's why I'm putting her on. Not only is she a gifted singer and jazz artist recording on the Blue Note record label, but I was told she likes cars, and I was very intrigued by that. She also, I guess, used to play with Prince, and now she's striking out on her own. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I went to music school, Berklee College of Music. So I like,
for how long?
But I like the music people, and I like cars. And there you've heard my rude co-host, who just feels free to just jump in wherever he wants
you
and
do.
Interrupt my flow. Mr. Zuckerman, how are you, Zuckerman?
Terrific.
You seem a little, you already seem a little aggressive.
When am I not?
How was your Rennsport weekend, by the way?
It was terrific.
It was?
It was the best Rennsport weekend I've ever
had. I
had
one of the best Rennsport weekends, too. It was really amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, I enjoyed our view of it.
What did you do? What did you see? What was your favorite part of Rennsport weekend?
Well, you know, I always like the gathering of the cars. Yeah. I'm particularly like the early cars. I'm really, at this moment in time, fascinated with the early body bumper cars.
Right, right.
Like the 51s.
Yes, yes. Well, I enjoyed working the scoreboard of my son's Little League game. That was my favorite part of Rennsport weekend. And then cheering my other son on in his big soccer game. That's what I did. We didn't go to Rennsport,
no,
Zuckerman. We didn't go. Primarily, I think that's because our buddy Jerry had to go off to some wedding or something this weekend, right? And then
well,
you
yes,
and I.
And he didn't invite us to the wedding.
He didn't. No. Well, why do you want
to? I wouldn't have wanted to go to that wedding anyway.
Why would you go to a wedding?
I don't go to any weddings.
Yeah. I wouldn't go to a wedding.
Never.
No. I stopped going to weddings. You know, there was a novelty, I think, when I was young.
In your 30s, you want to go to everybody's
when you see,
wedding.
Yeah, you see
in your
friend.
In your 50s.
Right.
In your 50s, it's just filled with, it's just, God, it's too emotionally charged. You don't want to see that. You don't want
no,
to see.
No, it's just too much traveling. Why do I want to sit there
it's
in a seat
like,
for 6 hours?
Okay, you have a different view. I like to handicap how soon it's going to go bad.
Right.
So
you can't do that from your home?
That's right. I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to think about the mistakes being made right in front of my eyes.
Mistakes?
No, okay. Statistically, they are.
Anyway, we didn't go to Rennsport because we were just up in Monterey for Pebble Beach Car Week. We like a lot of you, we know we were going to catch up with this on Instagram. We were going to see it all there. But the big moment of Rennsport, we predicted. And your source, Zuckerman, your deep throat, was right on the money.
And when did I first predict this? Was it almost a year ago?
It could have been almost a year ago.
Almost
yeah.
a year
Let's
ago.
Just say.
And you, I think, gave it some credence. Our other friend.
Oh, I believed it.
Our other friend said he poo-pooed it. Absolutely said it wasn't
going to
happen.
I don't recall him doing that.
Well, I don't know if I did or didn't, but that's the story I like.
But what is nice is you and I finally had information that he did not have.
Right. And
right?
we hit it out of the park.
We,
and
we
nailed
did.
It. We nailed
right.
it.
We heard that there was a slant-nose 911, flat-nose 911 coming along. Between when you first heard it from our deep throat source and pretty close to Rennsport weekend, we started to put together the pieces.
You
I started
took it
hearing,
to the next level because I said there's going to be I,
– you said, you know what? It's probably going to be a race car. And I went, oh, right.
I thought you said it was going to be a race car. We're
well,
having an all-man
moment.
Maybe I
did. It doesn't matter. We're a team on this. But
yes.
we realized that Rennsport, it could be a race
That's
car.
That's true.
And then, knowing what we know about race cars and flat nose,
yes.
we put together the 935. And then what I did is I put a little post in my Instagram story, which I then heard about.
through someone else who said Porsche was not happy about this.
Oh.
How did you hear this?
Oh.
And I told them, I don't get paid by Porsche. My loyalty is to my audience, our audience. And if we figure something out, if we get a scoop, we're reporting it. We're not gonna pick the Porsche factory over you folks listening. We put it together. We're putting the information. It's our balls on the line on this one. We're staking our reputations there after the Tom Cruise Ford GT fiasco that was leaked to us that turned out not to be true.
Not even close.
We've got our credibility back.
But I will say this. If Porsche is listening and they want to call Michael Cohen to arrange the hush money in the future, I would be open to discussions.
Yes.
Yes.
If they are listening in the future. But I'll tell you what. So they announced this new 935, which is a GT2 RS-based race car. They're going to make 77 of these things. They're about, what, $800,000 or $900,000?
$815,000 base price. And they are track only.
Track only, right.
However, I believe there's going to be a street version.
Now, Zuckerman, this is more than a belief. Yes, there's already a lot of buzz online that they're going to then now catapult off of this into some sort of flat-nose 911 turbo for the street. And that's pure rumor. We're just drawing off the internet.
And this does not excite me if it is merely a turbo S with a slant nose. It would excite me if it was like a GT2 RS as a slant nose.
Well, why wouldn't they do that?
Why would they?
Have they run out of time? When is this new 911 coming out?
It seems like they're going to pluck us right into the last minute. Maybe they'll even do something like they used to do, which is continue to have these specialty cars coming out while the new 992 is entering the market.
Yeah.
Which would be very cool.
What is your deep throat source saying about this?
Well, I'm going to have to make some calls, but I
don't say too much. I like that Deep Throat reached out and said, "Have you told anybody who I am?" And we said, "No, we have not." And everybody's assuming it's Jerry, and it's not Jerry Seinfeld. We're being completely 100% honest with you. He's not the only guy we know.
We know a lot of guys.
And I think they're not giving him Jerry information.
No, the funny thing is that Jerry thought he may have been Deep Throat. He's not even sure if he is or isn't.
No. And on this one, he wasn't, you know, he's just a guy who bought the Washington Post and read the story.
It would be funny if we just told him he was and he'd believe it.
No, I want him still talking to that factory because every once in a while he can get a good scoop. But he
plays with us.
Yeah.
He really doesn't tell us.
Well, to that point, we played with him. He was just in town. We were over at
fantastic.
Zuckerman's Robertson Hangar, and we went to congregate to have some Thai food and to talk cars. What was it, last Tuesday at 8 o'clock? And I know last week we told you guys that Zuckerman had bought Jerry's old Adriatic Blue GT2. And why don't you tell everybody what you did?
Well, Jerry's
reaction was brilliant.
Yeah, it was Nasha news. In a way, it just so happens that at that hangar, we have a curtain that covers part of the garage. It's a long story why we have that there, but it has nothing to do with cars. And this was the most utility I've ever gotten from it. We were able to bring the 2002 GT2, the Adriatic Blue car that Jerry had ordered brand new back in the day, that you had spun out in 2002.
I'd never spun. I just got a little wiggly on the backside of Willow.
On Willow, and you never wanted to drive it again. I got the car. Ray J at RPM Sports Cars in Houston, he got a hotshot transport to take it straight from Houston out to L.A. We were supposed to show it to Jerry on Sunday night, and then he bailed on us.
Monday night he bailed. And then
Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday we got him over. I had the car behind the curtain. He had no idea it was there. And the garage was so full of so many weapons of mass destruction. It was really the craziest I've ever seen that garage.
Yeah, yeah.
What did we have in there?
You had the new GT2 RS was there.
Two GT3 Tourings.
Two GT3 Tourings, 911R.
Yeah, 911R. I forgot about that.
And everything was just jammed in, and it was just like, what are we doing? What is this?
What is this place? It's like a treasure chest.
There's a Ferrari in there, 488, one of your partners has.
Yeah, an M5, an old M5 E28.
And then behind the shower curtain.
And there was the 64, the 65 911, the slate gray that Will Boyd had done. And so we ate dinner. Jerry had no clue there was anything behind that curtain.
But we said we had some dessert for him.
And then he started to guess, being you know, that second grader that he is with his hand up. He wants to rob the surprise.
What did he guess?
He was guessing that it was either the...
He thought it was the Zagato 356, and we were like, no.
He had no clue.
No.
And I thought he may have... Because I left a couple of breadcrumbs on Instagram.
Yes.
There was a little shot of the shifter, and people were guessing.
That's right.
There was another picture in the garage where you could just see the front headlight with some blue.
Yes. And so let's get to it. You pulled the curtain back. I filmed it.
You take over the description.
It's fantastic.
I pulled the curtain like Carol Merrill on Let's Make a Deal.
And he went, oh, my God, that's my car.
He really did. Even more excited than that.
I want it now. You could have sold him that car right in that moment. As I told you, he would instantly say, I want that car.
We had so much in play. We were playing trading cards. That's another favorite Jerry pastime. What can I get from you? What do you want from me? And what can we trade?
There were a lot of cards talked about in that meeting all of a sudden. There were a lot of suggestions put forth about metal that could change hands. It was wild. It was reckless, I would say.
I love reckless.
But it was fun.
That is the basis of Plan Z.
You know, I think before we take a little break, we should talk about this GT2 RS, Zuckerman.
You've had more seat time than me.
I have. This car is insanity.
Do you realize
it? But where did you drive? You just drove it around the city, right?
Yes. And I drove it down Sunset. I can tell you that it is a hypercar. It's not even a supercar.
Yeah.
It's a hypercar. It's so funny to park it next to the GT3.
The GT3.
The chalk touring.
So normal and compared
so small.
To this thing. And so small next to this
Tell
thing.
Everyone what you were going to sit and do with your wife.
Oh, well, yeah. I didn't want her to know that I had the Touring in chalk and the GT2 RS in chalk. So when she sees it, which I don't believe she's seen it yet, I'm going to say, oh, that's just we have this wing that we can put on it and some stripes.
Take it on and off.
We can put it on and off. Zuckerman likes the wing and the stripes, so he just left it that way. She's going to believe that. She's going to totally believe that.
How long?
Huh?
How long will she?
For as long as we have the car. She'll never know. But that car...
And you're dumb for not knowing where the spoons are.
For what?
You don't know where the spoons are in the kitchen. And she
I actually do know where the spoons are. I do know where the spoons are. The GT2 RS, though, Zuckerman, I've driven it a couple of times in traffic. It's like being on the back of a dragon is what it feels like. And it's not... It's got a very race car suspension. It's a very bumpy ride when you're driving around town. So get ready. It's one of those cars, like, if you got to take a leak, do not get into this car. You know how the old GT3s were like
right.
that? They bounce around. You're like, just don't do that. So, you know, that coupled with the sports seats, you really feel like you're in a race car. And it's fine in traffic, but it feels like it's a lot in traffic.
Did you mash it?
What do you mean?
Step on the gas.
Not in traffic, no. But yesterday when I came out to see you in Malibu, I took it up on the PCH, and it zips. It's one of the fastest cars I've ever driven, and it's one of the most capable cars I've ever driven. And I think I told you this analogy. The only other time I felt like that is when I bought this motorcycle when I was 18 years old, this little Ninja. Kawasaki Ninja, and I remember leaving the lot of a Betancourt Honda or wherever the hell I was, driving down the road and going, boy, this is so smooth, and thinking I was doing 45 and I was doing 110. That's what this car is. I was coming down around Sunset, coming around these turns, and thinking, wow, what a pleasant drive this is, and going and then looking down and going, God, I'm going way too fast. Not realizing that I was speeding as fast as I was going because it was so smooth and so capable. This car really – I really want to get on the track in it.
I agree.
You know, it's just that you can feel that downforce, right? Doesn't have 1,000 pounds of downforce at speed. That's something – didn't I read that about this?
Mm-hmm.
You get on it, you just – all you want to be is on a racetrack in this car. It really – the sounds, it's got all of these insane dragon sounds and low throaty roars that come out in places that you don't expect, mostly around 2,100 RPMs. But it's telling you, get me into a place where I can run.
It brings out my childish fantasies about having 50 caliber machine guns in mm-hmm. the nose of the car. Mm-hmm.
And I felt – I mean, I remember driving back – after you drove it, I drove back from the hangar that night. We were all together. And I'm going to remember that drive forever. It was – you know, it was like, what, 10 o'clock at night, and we were driving through Beverly Hills there. And I was driving at about 35 miles an hour. The car terrified me, the noises it was making. Just everything about it was just – the air was cool. I had some good music on, but I couldn't hear it. You know, and I'm in this machine and feeling this car that I've never felt these sensations before come out of a Porsche.
I would be surprised if anyone who owns this GT2 RS is ever going to exceed 10,000 miles on this car.
That's it's the
one
other
of
thing.
The greatest car that won't be driven.
Yeah, I'm putting it back in your hangar today, by the way. So I'm bringing it back. But it's, because it doesn't have the usability of the GT3. Or just a plain old 911 where you just want to get in it any day of the week and do whatever you want. It's a special drive car, which is fine. It's just not the thing you're going to want to pick unless you're really doing a drive. You know what I'm saying?
You're not going to the supermarket in
right.
this car.
And you have trouble with sports seats in your back, right?
Kills me.
And you've got this new plan. Why don't you tell, before we take a break, tell everybody your new plan here. Because maybe you'll help somebody who's also having back issues. And I've kind of heard this problem before.
Well, you've heard this ever since I was in that accident with the speedster. My back's a mess. And I find the buckets to be very uncomfortable right now.
The sport buckets.
The sport buckets. And so I'm going to have the upholsterer, the car guy, is going to make a little cushion. It's going to be like a triangle, thicker at the base, more narrow at top, that gives me a little angle instead of being so upright or even pitched forward a little bit.
Right.
It's going to give me a little angle and a little comfort. So, because I find that it's just the angle of that seat, it has no incline.
No.
It's a straight 90 degree angle. And it can be excruciating if you're having some back problems, lower back, upper back. So I have to figure out, and it really is, it's kind of a brutal old man thing to have to admit this, that I need some type of cushion or padding to be able to drive this car.
Well, this is the Leno towel.
Yeah, Leno in his
Leno
P1.
Up in the P1 in the canyons, and he had this rolled up towel with an American flag on it, and he goes, this is the only way I can be comfortable in those seats. I like the seats, though. Because the car is so bloody fast when you accelerate, it just holds you in place and it keeps you right there with your hands on the wheel.
Right. These suits are made for – seats are made for someone who has a body like yours. You're a toothpick.
What are you going to call this device you're adding to this?
You know, my father
had – the
Leno towel? No, my father had such a bad back, he always had to have some type of orthopedic device. So I think I'll just call it the Harvey after my dad because it's so miserably pathetic.
We will sell the Harvey.
We'll sell Harveys here through the
podcast.
It kind of reminds me, what do they call that thing in the back of like the Rob Report for you and your lady, the Dominator? It's like this cushiony thing that you can fold in different ways. So
that's in the Rob Report?
I'm going to send you, or the DuPont Registry.
Dogs playing chess.
No, there's also this cushiony thing that you can fold into different positions to be
that. This
all
is a
the
luxury item for rich people?
I tell you what.
It's
I
a am sex gonna, cushion?
For your sex diaper, you take your sex diaper off, you put it to the side, and you get your sex cushion out. And that's what this reminds me of.
What about a catalog, Zuckerman, of just sex items that we start? Sex
for old diaper, people.
Sex cushion.
I know what we'll call it, too.
What's that?
Bernice's Secret for the aging horn dog.
Bernice's Secret.
Yes.
For the aging horn dog.
Yes.
Wow.
Horrifying.
We've started many companies here, but that could
minds.
Be the worst.
We're making millions in my mind.
But do we want to say anything else about this GT2 RS? Other than it's the greatest thing in the whole world.
Well, it just makes the GT3 such a great – the Touring is such a great car. And really, really –
No. Don't waver him.
It really, we should they should just make every car like a GT3 Touring. Why isn't that a car that Porsche makes for everybody?
Yeah.
It's the world's greatest 911. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Right now it is. Currently, it's the car. And I've always thought about that about the GTS, that could be the 911. But everybody should have a Touring. It's the greatest. Are you driving the chalk car?
Not today. Today I'm driving the 64 356. The weather's going to break a little bit. It's going to be in the 70s. It's going to be not rainy, I don't think.
I thought it's raining this week.
If it is, I'm going back to the garage. But I looked at when I looked at the weather, it was just going to be in the 70s. Maybe I need glasses to go with the Harvey.
Now we're old men talking about the weather here on Spike's
Car Radio. I need a Harvey to sit on.
Anyway, let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll have Candace Springs. Think of all the weird things found in cars. I'm not talking about your garden variety petrified French fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that just makes you wonder about folks. Another thing you're going to wonder about, but in a good way, are Continental belts. Bet you didn't know they're OE in tens of millions of Chryslers and Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE on the majority of BMWs and VWs. Now Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V-belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. Belts that are phonetically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has OE Technology Series multi-V belts for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. Hey, you get enough surprises working on cars and trucks. A belt should not be one of them. Go to Continental OE Technology Series multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit oetechnologyseries.com.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
All right, everybody, we're back with Candace Springs here. Hi, Candace.
What's up?
You can pull that mic right up close so you don't have to keep leaning in. Your new album is called Indigo.
That's it. It's
and,
my second album.
We can find it on Blue Note Records. Is there a record business anymore?
Yes.
Is it, there is.
Yeah, they're based with Capitol Records.
No, I know Blue Note.
And,
I know Blue Note. I know Capitol Records.
And they're like in that building, kind of like a smaller
segment.
Right,
but I mean, do people buy records anymore?
Or like that.
Huh?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in like Europe and Japan, especially Japan. They have a whole place like Big Tower Records still. And
really?
Uh-huh. We actually did a performance there for the big release.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And they closed ours.
It's like a dying art here. It's so sad, too. I'm like, no.
Well, what happens when your stuff goes, I'm sure, on Spotify and all of these other apps? Pandora, right?
Yeah, is that Pandora.
Do you really get paid from that stuff? I'm just asking. I went to Berklee College of Music, right?
Yes.
So I'm very skeptical of these kind of Silicon Valley apps that
uh-huh.
play music. And it sounds like to me they're taking the artist's money.
So I've heard things that are trying to improve it and all of that.
Yeah.
So, but honestly, I make most of my money doing touring and
touring,
shows.
Right?
That's where it's at.
Have you seen her schedule?
No.
Have you seen?
Let me look
at your
schedule.
Your schedule.
Oh my God! Here it is,
and it does not stop. You are everywhere.
Yeah,
you're on tour
Japan,
from
everywhere.
Pretty much right now, right? September 28th.
Yes.
Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to China, December 2nd. Oh, my God.
Yep.
San Diego,
there's
Anaheim, Los
there.
Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle. So you're here. Vancouver,
yes.
Starting to get cold. Then Boston,
mm-hmm.
New York, Northampton, Massachusetts, New York, Philly, Washington. Where are we jumping? Then
Germany.
Nashville, your hometown.
That's my hometown.
To Germany.
Yep.
Home of Porsche. Historic home.
Yep, I saw a
Paris,
big event
London,
the other night.
Yeah.
Netherlands, Berlin, Tokyo, Osaka, Beijing, China.
Is this fun?
It is, and it's also very, very tiring. So.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's fun. It is.
Well, this is exciting.
But that's where the money's made.
That's where a lot of the money is made. So some of it's a lot of it's just promo, but a lot of it is also, you know, to make money. So
and do you perform in festivals by yourself, or is it like festivals with lots
clubs.
Of
clubs?
Yeah,
well, you're at the Troubadour, right?
At the Troubadour. It's a mix. Sometimes we do festivals, especially in like in London, we do a lot of jazz festivals there, and just in Europe in general. But,
you're doing the Troubadour tonight?
Yes, we are.
Wow,
so,
that's
exciting.
Doug Weston's Troubadour.
Yep, we got two tickets if y'all want to come.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. If I could stay up late. If I knew how to stay awake anymore.
Yeah, we're old, Candace.
I never used to go to sleep. Now I don't just want to stay in bed.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
What do you know about the Troubadour, Zuckerman? What history do you know about the Troubadour?
Troubadour's been here since the 50s. And if you remember when Jake Taffer was here, he was a manager of the Troubadour.
Oh, that's right.
The bar rescue guy managed the Troubadour in the late 70s. Early 80s when Doug Weston was still alive and spending all his money on his nose. And the place was a mess. And it was wild. And it was that dirty West Hollywood that we had back then. Now things are cleaned up. Now people are around the block. waiting for their tickets. Everyone's well behaved, and they want to see a good show. That's awesome. That room any good? Have you been in there?
This is my first time.
Wow.
Lots of history in there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
What about, now what's the story about you and Prince?
That came out of
nowhere. Responding to you in a tweet?
Yes.
How does that work?
Well,
take us back. What's happening in this moment that first of all, I didn't know Prince tweeted.
I didn't know
he was on Twitter. I didn't know that was going on.
Uh-huh.
Was he at Prince? What was his
No,
handle?
He used Third Eye Girl, which is a female band that he plays
with.
And I was outside in New York at the time. I was washing my Jeep at a TJ with the 40 Street.
What kind of Jeep did you have?
TJ, Model 99, I think Sahara with a 5-speed. Gearbox, whatever, nice. Locked right. Rear. It wasn't bad.
Qualify.
So anyway, and it had like a straight pipe with a Flowmaster. It sounded so good. So it sounded like a Mustang coming down the road, but it wasn't. But anyway, I'm polishing away. I got my BF Goodrich tires, 33-inch.
Oh, nice.
Mud. I'll take it off-roading. And then suddenly my phone goes off, and I look down. And I had just posted this video of me singing Sam Smith's Stay With Me just on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a blogging company. I was like, hey, we'll tweet it for you. Apparently Prince followed that blogging company and saw it. And then he said, this is all you need. You know the lyric is, won't you stay with me, because you're all I need. And then so he goes, this is all you need. And that's how it came up. And then he messaged me. He said, hey, who are you? You're so beautiful. I want you to come perform at Paisley Park, the 30th Purple Rain anniversary. And before I know it, I'm getting a call from my label saying, Prince is called. He wants you to play with his band. And all that. So,
wow.
Yeah. So 3 days later, I'm on a plane, first class. I think it might have been my first time on first class. And all.
Oh, my God.
And there he is.
Did you think that for a minute, did you really believe it was Prince on Twitter? Did you go, come on, that can't be Prince Twitter DMing me right now, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. And I had to cheat and show my managers because they're huge Prince fans. And
yeah, yeah.
They're like, yeah, that sounds like him.
That sounds like him.
We were freaking out. I started
crying.
You
didn't say, send me a picture of your face. I want to see.
With a newspaper.
No, he's so elusive.
Holding the newspaper.
Pointing. But anyway, he follows up through proper channels.
Uh-huh.
And he gets you get this ticket, right? And then you're yep. on your way to Prince's Joint in where is that, Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota, Paisley Park.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? So when you fly in first class, you land, they send a car.
Yeah, I think
is it was
a
car service out. Or is
it was
he didn't pick you up himself?
It was a big black Escalade.
And was he in it?
So
Well, one of his dudes.
On this one, he wasn't, but the last time he picked me up in 2016, he was.
He was?
But the first time, he had this, like, hot chick picking up, whatever.
Really?
Yeah, and it was like, he always have women running for his whole business, like, cooking for him, driving
for
him.
That's his move, Zuckerman. Uh-huh. Look at this move.
Why am I such an idiot?
Why am I an idiot?
I was like, damn, she's really cute.
Yeah.
So, like, who is this?
Yeah.
Why don't I have a bunch of hot girls? Yeah, because you know what'll happen?
What?
What? I'll be sued every 3 minutes. I'll be bankrupt.
A lawyer,
yeah,
right.
I'll be a new way to achieve bankruptcy. Hire hot girls and try to interact with
you're
them appropriately.
You're the one who suggested the idea to yourself, and then you didn't.
And then you're like, wait a minute.
Then you said, I can't do this.
Yeah.
What a move this guy has. So he reaches out. He flies you first class. The girls, there's a hot girl who picks you up.
Uh-huh.
And then what happens? He brings you to his home, or do you record that day? What's the first thing you're doing with Prince?
We pull up to Paisley Park.
Yep.
I don't know how to describe it. What is Paisley Park like? It's interesting. I don't even know how to explain it. It's almost like a new school, like a newer age church. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those. You know, like, not like with the big steeples and all that, but it almost looked like it was supposed to be, and he bought it and just made it a studio and a you know, an auditorium and stuff. So.
And what did you do? Did you record with him?
I did later on, like 2 years later. But when we first got there, he just wanted to perform. So he had his Third Eye Girl band there, the female band, which is Sarah, Ida, and Hannah.
Uh-huh.
They're great, great, incredible musicians. But he also had the male band, New Power Generation Quartet. So they're a little more known. And they were in there jamming and rehearsing when I walked in. He was like, I flew them in. So, so I like them.
So he flew them in, too.
Yeah, he'd fly everybody in.
I wonder if he needed more hot girls to pick them up. All right, we're short three hot girls. Can I
He hits line three. More hot, more hot girls. Stat.
Yeah.
And so they're practicing, and they, you know, you're not intimidated in that moment?
I was excited.
How old are you at that point?
I was 26. Oof, man, it's going back now. I'm losing track of time. How old I was? 26, something like 26.
Oh, my God.
Somewhere in that range.
And you weren't freaking out?
You're not freaking out.
I might have been 25.
Yeah. Right.
So I was excited. I was crying happy tears before, but then I was like, okay, he's a human being. So,
right.
I mean, we didn't see him when we first
he's
got
not,
there.
He's
he was hiding. Mm-hmm. So then there's this door that you wouldn't know it was a door. It was a wall, and then suddenly it just opens up, and there he is, of course. And then that's Prince. He always puts on the show. I was like, and I didn't waste any time. I went, Prince! And he was a little, like, surprised. I just, like, threw myself on him, gave him a big hug.
Oh, you did?
And he was like, whoa, oh okay.
Well, yeah, why not? You just
came
here
out of a wall.
I don't think he was expecting it, so.
So they weren't expecting him out of a wall.
That's true. So I was like, bam!
Did the wall open slowly? Did it make it like a... Or was there wall music that went dun-da-da-da?
Kind of.
Was there any lighting, or was it...
It was, like, kind of dark. I think it was a little smoky when it came around. I don't remember, but it was something. I do remember
Prince
it was tinted.
Is a master. Do you remember that house that Prince rented up near us where we used to live on Doheny?
Of course, the parties.
And do you remember that, yeah, the parties, but also the legal problems they had up there?
Oh, of course.
Prince, and it would make all of us laugh, he was renting this beautiful big house.
It was the rock star guy's house.
That's
the guy
with
the
right.
rock star power drink.
And every time the guy who owned the house came by to look at the house, there was more purple carpeting and purple curtains.
Lights.
That
and
sounds
lights
like him.
And all these things you're not supposed to do to the rental. But he had turned it purple inside, and it was a constant source of irritation to this
That's
guy.
So funny. Well,
we loved it. It was great for security. There was always
yes.
security yeah. around there.
And he was always doing those late night gigs, right?
Uh-huh. He's like,
we're
going to
start at
slept.
3 in the morning. You know, yeah. what is that all about? Never slept.
A different mm-hmm. lifestyle.
Yeah, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is exciting. So you go in and you just sang with him?
No, well, kind of.
What did you do in that first, you know, that first day you're there? Practice session, or you're just listening, or what's his move? What's he up to? Or is there some part of you is going, why is Prince brought me here? What is this about? Am I his new girlfriend? Am I his new
yeah, he
singer?
He was very flirty, but he was also this very into music too. So I went up on the stage and I just started playing one of my songs, which is I think we started Meet Me in the Sky.
Uh-huh.
And when I ended it, he came with his like badass little cane or whatever. I think it was sparkly. And when we ended, he did a fake like collapsing fall, like a dance fall. You
oh
know
my
what I mean?
God, like more stay in the time.
Yeah, and he fell down. I was like, uh-uh.
Wow.
And he was like he fell in love or something. So.
And then and how long are you there?
Like
a couple of days?
Yeah, we were supposed to only be there for like 2 or 3 days. And we do the show the following night. And then he's like, I want you guys to stay. And so me and my manager. So
These guys out here?
No, this is a friend of mine. Her name is Julie.
So do you stay in the house?
No, we would stay at a hotel, like right down the street.
Right,
yeah.
And then he'd call you up at 3 in the morning and go, it's time. Let's perform.
I need more hot girls here.
Pretty much, yeah. He would pretty much,
wow,
yeah.
That is
but
fun.
He'd be emailing me in the middle of the night. I'm like, bruh, go to sleep.
Man.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's why he's brilliant.
What an exciting thing to happen. I mean, you must have been pinching yourself going, I can't believe this is real life, right?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
I mean, who doesn't love Prince? Who doesn't love Prince? I remember my cousin Christina on Long Island told me that she went to a club one night. This is a long time ago. She went to a club one night and was dancing on the dance floor with this guy, this diminutive man, and it turned out to be Prince.
Really?
Yeah, in this New York City dance club. And her friends were like, I can't believe you just danced for 2 songs with Prince. Why didn't you keep going? She goes, I get tired of that guy. And she went, wait, Prince? She had no clue who she had been dancing with.
Are you kidding?
No.
I drove a red Corvette cross country in 1983. When that song was out.
Oh, yes.
And
come
on. And it was perfect. It was,
yes.
Yeah.
I actually have a red Corvette,
yeah.
too.
Do you?
Like,
what
yes,
year?
A 14.
Really?
An LT1 7-speed. So.
Nice. Yeah.
Look at her just right. dropping those.
Dropping
words.
It. Just, man, just to drop into the
baby,
conversation.
Man.
How many cars do you have? I'm going to just ask that. I don't mean to get off track. How
Go
many
ahead.
Cars?
It's never consistent. I had like 8 this year, but I have 5 right now.
Only 5.
Yeah.
And they're all national.
Yeah, I love that you say only 5. Well, see, you guys are car people. Everybody's always freaking out when I say 5.
No, that's reasonable.
No, yeah.
In my world, that's reasonable. Yes.
Yeah.
I think that in some ways is the perfect number. 5
yep.
or 6 is right around the perfect number to get cars used.
That is right.
When you start getting a little bigger.
It's hard to give them all
just
love.
Just to be like last week when we're looking around going, what have we done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have we done? Excuse me. Sorry. Let me read this quote. I like this. This is you, by the way, I'm quoting. My dad gave me a Matchbox car, and my mom gave me a Barbie when I was younger. I drew a mustache on the Barbie because I thought it was funny, and I never played with it again. I probably saw the Barbie like 10 years ago, and the mustache was still stained on the face with pen ink. But I still have that car to this day. Music and cars are my passions.
I can really – I read that quote yesterday, and it stuck with me.
Isn't that really right?
Yeah.
Says it all.
So which – first of all, which one of your parents was the car nut? Your mom or your dad?
My dad.
Your dad?
Yeah.
What is he like driving?
Oh, man, my dad always drove humble cars. Like, right. But his favorite, he loved the Jaguar and stuff like that. Right. So, like, I was like, okay.
Humble cars right. is
yeah.
great.
Yeah, but
like
he
that.
Always drove, his thing, he always drives a Honda.
So. Hashtag
I don't
humble
have to go
cars.
To the shop with that car. So I'm like, okay.
When you say humble cars, what are you talking
Hondas?
About?
He drove an old, like, 80s Camry or something,
nice.
A Cressida. Have you
just
heard of the
car.
Cressida?
Right, right.
Dependable.
Yes. Yeah.
Humble like cars.
We have to do
She's
something
got something
with
that. There.
Hashtag humble cars.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reliable.
It could be a division of the JG France, the JG Mercedes Motory.
It could be a subsidiary of Morris Solomon's, purveyor of fine automobiles,
yes.
and then humble cars. That would be our used car brand
yes.
for everyone.
We have this imaginary car dealership, Morris Solomon's, names of our grandparents.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, now she's a little weirded out.
No,
it's not
no.
My little fantasy.
I'm
cool
weird too, so it's all
fantasy
good.
Car land.
Yes.
Okay.
I need to know about these five cars with your
We're
going to
talk
her.
About that, Sacramento.
Okay.
But we have our sponsors to service.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Okay.
Before
fine.
We go, but this is exciting. We've never done this before. As we go to commercial, we're going to play some of Candace's music. This is called Don't Need the Real Thing. We'll be right back with Spike's Car Radio.
No, I don't need the real thing. Oh, your bond to the woman in me is free. No, I don't need the real thing. Don't need the real thing.
Let's talk about AMSOIL. You know why I like AMSOIL? Because they're a bunch of car people. They're gearheads. They're into all kinds of power sports, and basically they get it. Recently, AMSOIL created a guide to increasing horsepower in your vehicle. It has insider tips from some of the best in the business on coaxing more power out of your engine. You can get your copy free at AMSOIL.com/spike. AMSOIL.com/spike. While there, find out more about AMSOIL Synthetic Motor Oil 2, like how AMSOIL Signature Series Synthetic Motor Oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by a leading industry standard. Go to AMSOIL.com/spike to get your free insider's guide to increasing horsepower.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
Spike's Car Radio. Do you ever have this problem? Do you hear this throat clearing, Candace? What's the solution for that? Is it the tea? What am I doing wrong? I come in here and I have a coffee with heavy cream and then I have to clear my throat a
Can't
lot.
Can't have cream.
Is that it? I'm
that,
asking
that
Candace.
That will mess with you a little bit. A good thing to get rid of is like chips, french fries, stuff with salt in it.
That gets rid of it?
Salt water. Yeah, if you just get a quick chug and then replace it with regular water.
French fries I like better,
fries,
I think.
Chips. Yeah,
do you have any fries on you?
As a matter of fact, I do. I'm outside in a Sprinter van.
Wow. Anyway, we were talking, and by the way, we're talking to Candace Springs, and she's
I'm
a singer, but she's also, she likes cars.
Oh,
and we want to
no
dig
idea.
Into this collection. So your dad was the guy. He had the humble cars. When is it? Is it this first Matchbox car? What kind of Matchbox car was it?
It
Can
was
you remember?
A fire Thunderbird. Thunderbird. Yeah.
Thunderbird.
A little,
wow.
Tiny little Matchbox.
And you still have
yeah.
it, huh?
I still have it.
That is
yep.
so cool. And at what point are you realizing that you're a complete car nut and you want to have these things and collect these things?
After he gave me that car, I started collecting Hot Wheels. I still have all my Hot Wheels cars.
You do?
Probably well over 500 of them.
Wow.
Still in boxes, all organized. And then on my walls, I have the 118 scale collector cars, everything. Now I have actual real cars, and I can't help myself. I'm always buying something. And then, like, my friends are like, Candace, you don't need that. Yes, I do. It's a 53 Packard with a straight eight original. I'm like, I'm buying everything.
This
I've had one of Zuckerman. Everything at this point, a little bit that I can reach.
Zuckerman's eyes are wide open. Well, we've never met a girl like this before.
You have no idea.
I've never met anyone like this.
She has to go to Villa d'Este and sit there with Alan DeCadenay and fight over cars.
I think she's more wholesome in her car choice. I think she's more American in her car choices.
I am. Villa- I love everything, though. I appreciate everything.
What are your favorite cars? So what are your favorite brands? So tell us what you like, what you own. Go ahead, dish.
Well, I guess you're right on the American part. I do have a little replica British car, a little MGTD at 52, whatever.
Wow.
But it's just got a little, it's a kit car. So, but it looks so good. It's like one of the better built ones I've seen on the road, but I had to have it. But
And where do you keep these cars?
My little country house in Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I have a two-car garage, but I managed to squeeze three in there.
Now.
I'm not going to put
fourth
in there.
She's got all of the syndromes.
She's got all the problems that we have.
Yes.
That's right.
This is so relatable.
Do you spend time in the hotel after the gig on eBay Motors looking for stuff?
Oh, all the time. I was in Japan. I bought, I forget what I bought, like a front bumper clip or something, or a valance thing for the front of my vet over there.
Oh, really? So you're hunting down parts,
I was like, as soon as I get back, it's going to be pulling up at the house.
Wow. Do you ever wrench on stuff? Do you ever pull cars?
All the time. Yeah. All the time. I can do like basic stuff. Like I don't get into like timing and, you know, crankshaft bearing and all that stuff. So I can do my own oil. I can change plugs, wires, belts, alternators, water pumps, hoses, all that stuff, top stuff.
Look at this stuff.
And then my buddy's teaching me how to go further, like valves and all that stuff and adjusting timing. He's teaching me that. So as I go. But all the other stuff I kind of learned on my own.
Wow.
Hey,
You're blown away, aren't you?
I'm blown away. I don't even know what to say.
This happens. It's perfect, too, when you work in a job like music and you're working hard on that to have this little side gig going on where you're just, you know, we did this when we were working on Seinfeld. We'd be working a lot, and then you have this little space of time to relax, and cars fills that spot.
Oh, I'm that. Cars are my heart. Perfectly. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Nobody has any idea. I don't even know how to tell people until they really get to know me, and they're like, oh.
So, okay. So you're a little
got
shy.
Got it bad.
We talk about
shyness. No, people don't take me seriously. I'm like, no. Like, then they see my cars, and they're like, oh. Okay, she ain't playing around.
Yeah. So, no, guys must lose their mind when they see you in some of these cars driving around. I used to lend cars to my friends who were women, and I would say, look, you're going to get in this old 911, and you're going to get every red light. There's going to be a guy rolling his window down going, I have a way to communicate with you now because we both like cars. And this girl drove back from New York to Boston, got asked out 6 times
I bet.
On the drive because men are morons and they don't know how to talk to a woman, but they use the car as this little icebreaker every
it's
time,
relatable.
Right?
That's right.
It's relatable.
Come on.
What's your earliest car you own right
now?
Yeah,
let's talk.
The last car I just got?
No, the earliest, oldest one.
The oldest one I ever got. The less stuff I have right now is not – just kind of recently got everything. But it might be the Corvette.
You have a 65 Mustang, right?
I did have that, but actually I'm selling it and I got a 69 Cutlass right now. So.
I love a 69 Cutlass.
I know. It looks like a Chevelle A-body.
Right,
so
it's comfortable. It's got some style, some panache. You feel good in that car.
Yep.
Yeah. What color is that car?
Black on black. Dark.
That's
5% tint on it, all that. It's got a 350 Rocket. I wish it was a 442, but it's not.
Know what, though? You're better off.
You get
bragging rights with the 442, but you get drivability with the 350.
Yep.
And I've had tri-power GTOs. I've had all that big block stuff. And it can be so frustrating because if it's not working right, I lose my mind. Right? So you step down a little bit. There's a reason they barely sold those big ones because they didn't work that great.
They sold one to Better Call Saul because I don't know if are you watching the new season of Better Call Saul? It's right in the front of it. They pull the grill right up and there's the big 442 sitting right there.
Dang.
Well, that's a cool car. Are all your cars black? What are your favorite colors? Are you pulling up car pictures right now?
I have a my latest car, though. It's a custom-made. It's on a 1927 Model A frame, but it's a replica of a T-bucket or something like that.
Wow.
I might have it backwards. But it's got a 454 big block.
Listen to that.
Now you're making car videos here.
Big block.
Oh, my God. Look at that thing.
That is fantastic. Oh, listen to that. You know who she has to meet? You got to meet Billy Gibbons.
I would love that.
Billy Gibbons
is
such
an
absolute car nut. and he loves anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's his gig.
That is
he's up in that Prince neighborhood too, right?
Okay.
Well, we see him, you know, now, and like Candace, he never stops working. He's like a shark, right? He keeps moving, or he's going to die.
Right.
And so I'll see him at Bristol Farms, and he's always very approachable. And my friend Bo sat down and had coffee for a few hours with him the other day. But he's fascinated by all things mechanical, and he's built a lot of custom
cars.
Quite
a Bristol Farms there in Hollywood. That's the one Warren Zevon used to go to.
Right?
And get the brisket. Do you remember that?
Of course. Too bad he's not with us anymore.
No.
Now he's a werewolf.
But he – and then famously went on Letterman after that, and Dave asked him, you know, you're close to the end of your life. Do you have any wisdom that you could offer us? And he said, enjoy every sandwich. And I thought about all the sandwiches I'd see him get at the Bristol Farms.
And there you go.
But he should have said, enjoy all the brisket, because that's what he was eating most.
Enjoy every minute.
Really?
Enjoy every minute. So you've got this Cutlass.
Yeah.
Okay. But what's your go-to car? What are you going to put the key in when all five of those cars are in front of you?
So we're Porsche guys.
I love Porsches,
we like
man.
Porsches.
I saw my first 918 the other day. I was like, ooh, in person.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Well, Zuckerman will give you a car for the week. While you're
anything
here.
You want.
you can drive something nuts. What kind of driver are you? Are you a fast driver? Are you a safe driver? Do you get speeding tickets?
Somewhere in between. It depends on my mood, I guess,
what car I'm driving.
You know, my favorite ones, I call it over-reliable, too, sort of. It's a 3.8, but anyway. My Jeep Rubicon. So got, you know, it's a 4-inch Terraflex lift with the mud tires. I think a maxi 37-inch, and it's got all the control arms. But I bought it from country star Tanya Tucker in Nashville. So yeah,
it's a great association.
Uh huh. And that thing will climb up a wall. It'll go up your chair and climb up and take it with you. But yeah,
that is wild.
Maybe that one. I love that. And what else do I have? I forgot.
All right. So you have a Corvette. You got a Cutlass. You've got the Jeep. There's two more.
The T-Bucket and then the MGTD.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. So that's it right now.
You cover a lot of territory.
Yeah you do.
That.
And
that's
I just sold my Packard, the 53.
You had a Packard?
Yeah, I did.
Why'd you sell it?
I don't know. I should have.
Was it a Caribbean? What was it?
I wish it was. No, it was just a regular deluxe.
This is like Jay Leno turned into a soul singer. Just like she's got
three on the column. So.
She's like a Jay Leno type collector.
She's a connoisseur with appreciation all over the spectrum.
And buying stories, too. The story of the car. Jay's kind of a story buyer. I like the story. I met him, actually.
I used to go out to the snake out in Malibu.
Oh, yeah. He was out there?
Yeah. I was driving by and he had a McLaren. I was like, hey, is that the carbon fiber body? He goes, this girl knows a lot about it. So I shook my hand.
Wow.
I met him. That was a few years ago.
What are you doing out at the snake?
Driving my Corvette.
That was
right.
It. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
Where are you going to drive when you're out here now?
Well, I'm stuck in a Sprinter right now, so.
Oh, that's no fun.
On our tour, so it's slow and steady. Wins a race.
Oh, yeah. You got to move. You're a troubadour, and then you're off to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I was going to say, come driving with us this weekend.
Can I?
Have a nice time.
Come back to L.A.
Okay. We'll take you out in a variety of 9/11s and things that will scare you and shock you and enjoy. What's your favorite vintage of 9/11? What could we interest you in today?
Tell me.
Something brand new, something very old, something in the middle. What would you put her in, Zuckerman?
I know exactly what I put her in. I would put her in the Tangerine 73 RS because it's
old school.
It's old school, but this personality, everything about her in a tangerine car would be gorgeous, right?
That would be incredible. That's perfect. The Tangerine 73 RS would be amazing.
We have this 73 RS. It was Jerry's car, and then Jerry sold it to Spike.
No, it was Sam's car.
Sam
Cabiglio. Our friend Sam Cabiglio.
Right.
Sam sold it to Jerry. No, Sam sold it to someone else, and then it came back to Jerry. Jerry sold it to me, and I sold it to you.
Right. So it's like a family car that we've all had.
It's kind of sentimental.
Yes. Yeah. And you would look perfect in it. And you would love the way it drives, because it really would blow your mind how drivable it is, how fast it is, and how it handles.
Five-speed. That's what
happens. Yeah, it's a five-speed. And so I started out, I always loved American muscle cars, and I bought a lot of cars. And the problem for me with those cars were that...
That's what we're talking about right there.
They had that at the event that was in Germany just last week. Yep. Beautiful.
The drivability. It can really, I was always way more frustrated with my American cars getting everything perfect. They were not built perfect. You can't get them perfect.
Yep.
It was a never-ending mission for me. And then Spike kind of persuaded me to try 911s. I always kind of turned my nose up. I didn't want that foreign stuff. And the drivability.
Beautiful. Right? Beautiful car. Yeah.
That foreign stuff.
I'm American.
But you had a Jaguar.
That was what, because I didn't want to be like you. So I went and bought a Jaguar. That was that E-Type I really liked. That was a great car.
Those are nice.
I'm kind of coming around to those finally. In
classy,
my old man time.
It was a sexy car. It really is a good looking car.
I think I still prefer looking at them rather than driving them.
What's nice about those cars as opposed to a modern car, you sat upon that car. Your elbow went perfectly on the windowsill. Mm-hmm. You were not deep with the line of the door up to your ear. You sat high. And so it was a great seating position. You really feel, it evokes a great feeling in you, like you've arrived. Everything's okay. Made it.
Now you,
that's good.
I'm just looking down here at your bio. You almost went to automotive design school. That's
I did.
How deep you were in it.
Oh yeah, I'm a drawer. I can show you my artwork sometime. So
what? When is that? When you're in high school?
Mid teens. Yeah.
And what did you want to do?
Design cars.
For who?
Literally. Wherever path would have taken me.
Really?
A lot of women are in it, surprisingly, I'm seeing. So I'm like, okay.
And
especially with Nissan and stuff.
Were you singing at that time?
I was. I was like right in between at that spot. Like I was singing, but I was also doing a lot of car stuff and figuring out.
How old were you when you started singing?
I was 13, 15, something like that. 13,
and did
14,
it always just come out like it sounds right now?
Similarly, my voice has grown so much since then. I'm 29 now, but yeah.
it was there right from the very start, and people went, hello.
In a way, yeah, I guess. I mean, my dad was a great singer. His name is Scott Springs, and he's a soul singer, and he sang in Nashville for a living, and he sang backup for Chaka Khan, Aretha Franklin, Garth Brooks, Vince Gill, everybody, so... He gave me a head start in the music business, and they're like, well, why don't you try music? And music just kind of took off on its own. But you want to know a fun fact in between, while I was in between the world, I was a valet parking attendant for a hotel for 4 years at this place. And I drove like all sorts of things. And it never got old. So I was like, yes, except the running, but yeah.
That is crazy.
So I did that. And then they heard me play the piano at the hotel. And they're like, hey, I don't know you could play. I was like, yeah, I play and sing. I was like, why don't you, we need somebody to play up on our bar upstairs. And so in the morning, I would check people in and bring your cars up or, you know, park them. And then I'd go home, shower, and then come back and look all cleaned up. And I'd play the piano, and I'd see the same guests go by. And they're like, didn't you park my Honda earlier? I was like, yeah, leave me another tip. Yeah. Seriously, though, I'd come back and play cars by morning, music by night at the same hotel.
That could have been the perfect job. Perfect
it sounds
job
so
for
fun,
you.
Really. It really does. It sounds incredibly fun.
It sounds like a lifestyle
job.
Wow.
Well, best of both worlds.
And what, when you, how did you learn how to play piano? Did you just pick that up?
My dad pushed me into it a little bit. Like, we got a piano in the house. This lady fell on hard times, and it was her old vintage piano. She didn't want it. They were going to throw it on the street. And so my dad was like, fine, I'll keep it for you guys. And I went downstairs and picked on it. And he was like, hey, you want to take piano lessons? And so he got me piano lessons.
And how did that go?
It went good. Like,
so was it hard for you in the beginning, or were you into it?
I was so into it. Like,
you were.
I couldn't get off the piano.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
the
you
kind
of know. You know, you know. I'm asking because my kids just, they won't go near the piano.
Aw, yeah.
They're constantly pushed into it. And I'm just wondering, like, yeah, do you take to it? I took to it right away. You know what I learned on?
What'd
a
you learn?
Sears organ.
Oh, that's so cool.
Sears and Roebuck organ that you plugged in, a little electric organ. And I remember started writing music when I was 6 years old.
That's
but
so
I was
cool.
into it.
Yeah.
We didn't have lessons. We didn't get lessons. No.
That's impressive, though. I mean,
My fats never came up with that idea. Yeah, I had to listen to Beatles and stuff like that. I, you know.
That's pretty awesome.
And then I went to Berklee College of Music and got totally psyched out by people like you who were just super talented.
Oh my God,
just
when
I can't, I cannot compete with that. I cannot compete with that.
I'm, no. You guys, man, thank you. I appreciate you guys.
No, this is awesome.
Cool.
Well, look, you're quite a guest. We've never quite had a guest like you on this show. I've never heard of a person like you.
I was like,
ever,
I'm coming. I can't wait for this.
No, this
wait,
is
looking forward to this.
Very exciting, you know, and look, her name is Candace Springs, everybody. You need to know her name.
And you need to listen.
The new album is Indigo, a broad-ranging new album produced by, is that him, Kareem Riggins out there?
Yeah, Kareem Riggins. No, that's not him. That's my other manager.
And you can find it on Blue Note Records or where you buy your albums. I'm sure you can buy it everywhere else. And I know you can listen to you on Spotify because I listened to you on Spotify.
Yes.
Just yesterday. What else do we need to say? If you, she's on tour. Do you want to talk cars and listen to Candace? She's on tour right now, everywhere from Phoenix, the East Coast, and then off to Germany, Osaka, and Beijing, China. Do you have a lot of fans in China?
We're working on it. Japan, definitely. We're surprised how many more fans we have. Well, we show up to other countries. We're like, oh. Okay, more
wow.
presence than we realized. So,
do
yeah.
you what are they? What kind of cars are they driving in China? Have you been there?
I've seen actually a lot of American vehicles, like caravans and stuff, like Dodges and stuff. And there's a lot of also Korean vehicles, Hyundais, and you know,
lots
a little
of
mix
cars
of everything.
Japan,
Audis,
though.
Yeah.
Japan has a crazy.
Yeah,
they
got some
cars.
Nice
they
cars.
Got good stuff.
Yep.
Right.
But
what's your favorite country to go to so far?
You know what I really like? Honestly, is London. London's one of my favorites,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
yeah.
I could see you there.
You know, I love their Defenders. I want to import one, but I know it's so difficult to get
okay.
one over.
Okay, all right. Well, is it that difficult?
That's a plan. We'll share one. With
okay.
The three of us will get one.
It's going down,
yeah.
baby.
They have a heritage Defender. Right? The last Defenders they made, there are these nice light green color. They're special editions. They just made them last year, right?
16
or 17. Oh, like the new one. Yeah, I was reading about that. Okay.
He's got a house in Mexico.
And so our plan is to get one in Mexico,
okay.
license it in Mexico, and then just drive it across the border temporarily.
Awesome.
And then we
nine
have it
out
here with Mexican plates. We're not trying to pull fast one on the DMV.
Okay.
We just have our Mexican plates like real narcos. And then,
come on.
And
there
then,
you go.
Yeah.
I like you guys.
Yeah.
You can be in on this plan.
Okay.
This
yeah.
is
I'm
called
down,
Plan
man.
Z. You want to be part of Plan Z?
Yep.
All right.
Okay, I'm there.
She's in. Okay,
right.
Zuckerman, the only problem is getting that truck to Mexico.
I don't
hey, I'll drive it there.
I did dedicate, and I don't know if I told you this, I dedicated two or three nights to trying to find this vehicle in or around Mexico, and I was not successful.
Well, we,
there
where
is,
we
though,
blew it, there was a Land Rover dealership.
In Mexico City.
And one in Mexico
yes.
City and one in Guadalajara.
Yes.
And we can
exactly.
get, we can contact those people.
I tried.
Okay.
But, yes.
but we could have the greatest drive in the world. We could get the car to Veracruz, where it comes off the port, and then we could drive it all the way back.
And you think this would work?
Why wouldn't it? They have to, they have an economy.
I have,
they have
no
stuff
doubt
there.
Mm-hmm.
that we could get this truck onto a boat. I kind of doubt that it has to go around the Great Horn Spoon or wherever it's going to go.
The Horn Spoon.
Get wherever it's going to get to Mexico. And then that we're even going to hear about it.
I have done this. Ferrison.
Once it gets there.
Ferrison, I have done this.
You have. You've imported cars through Mexico?
I told you. In 1994, I got in the car here in Los Angeles, and I drove to Costa Rica, through Mexico, through all of these
I don't
countries.
Doubt that you can drive
and,
through Mexico. I've driven through Guatemala, yes.
I put the
I'm
car
saying,
on a boat
yeah.
in Costa Rica, and it actually showed up back in the United States.
It did.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow. okay.
it works. They know how to get things from South and Central America
to the United States.
This is a well-oiled
I don't even
route
doubt that.
Of commerce.
That's
they,
true.
Stuff's coming every day from
they got
down
this
there.
Damn.
So what
yeah.
happens with you and me in this, and Candace, in this Land Rover with Mexican license plates?
What happens is...
They'll just let us right in?
Okay.
There's no...
I, as the homeowner down there... We'll bring it in. You
yep.
can do that. You can approve it for a certain period of time. And I just have to get it back down there periodically and then bring it back up. Simple, simple. Couldn't be easier.
Don't you like
okay.
this, Candace?
It's just
what we do. We hatch crazy plans on this show.
You know how the car business goes. I already know.
Right. Yep. So everything
there's
is solvable.
There's always something that goes with something
and,
else.
And money, money is what solves problems.
That's right, Zuckerman.
We just throw money at the problem, and
yeah.
then we get.
Hey, man,
and
we'll
throw
you.
Some money at the problem.
We'll throw money at the problem.
All right, go ahead, go. You go, yeah. go. Shh, don't tell me.
Yeah.
Let's spend
I'll
some
throw
money.
Throw my wad of money right
I haven't
their
thrown.
Face.
I haven't bought a car in several days. I'm jonesing.
I like you. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah,
that's me.
This is like after last week. I know it's been crazy, Zuckerman.
I'm always like on Craigslist, everything, looking for stuff to pop up.
Everything appeals. You're like me. Everything. Oh, I like
stop.
That.
I know. I
everything
can't stop.
Looks good,
Lord.
Right?
Well, my like business manager's like, Candace, you need to stop.
No, I don't think so. You don't want that voice of reason. There's no voice of reason in this.
Uh-huh.
This is just go ahead and buy.
Yep.
Get.
That's right.
Anytime you need an enabler, you just reach out to us and we say yes.
Yeah, we'll deal with you with this.
Yeah. Okay. I'll send
y'all
links.
What are you saving the money for?
Hey, what do y'all think about this?
Yeah. Let's do it.
It's got the original motor, but it looks like he swapped out the... Nah.
Okay, whatever.
His number's matching.
Yep.
She's perfect.
All right.
Perfect for us.
She's not even going to be here a lot in L.A., so we'll get to drive this truck more.
Or even better. Even better. We get to go to Nashville.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's roads there.
Oh, I will take you to some roads.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm a country girl on that part.
Okay.
And if you get stuck, I'll pull you out. That's what she said.
Oh, I like this. I like this.
Look at Zuckerman.
Well,
so
I
happy.
Just want to be with her in the country. We get this Jewish guy from this Jewish personal injury lawyer set me loose out in the country, stuck in the mud with my money. Hey,
get
help me
mud
out
hole.
Here.
Well, we've had a nice time today, Candace.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you
I appreciate
for coming
y'all.
In. It's been enjoyable. I love the Prince stories. I love that we've ended the broadcast here with a car deal. We're gonna get a car. We're going to bring it in through Mexico, and then we're going to drive
it
together.
I'll drive it in.
All three of us.
Okay, all three of us.
And that's cool. And that's it. Candace, anything you want to plug that we haven't plugged?
Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm so grateful to be on this this with you guys. I'm excited. I can't even. I'm like, woo!
It's super fun to have you here, Zuckerman.
Yes.
Here's what I'm plugging. I want the magic door business. I want a
the
business
magic
that
door
puts
business.
It, yeah, like Prince, right? I want a magic wall. I
yep,
want to come
you
out
just
of.
Show up.
I just want to show up out of walls.
You could do that at your law firm very easily.
Yes.
Here's your lead attorney.
Purple smoke coming yep. out.
He would wear light up purple shoes too. Yeah.
I come out of the wall, and then he asks for legal advice, and I just go back in the wall. I don't have time.
It would be
for
very
this.
Anticlimactic.
When the door opened, went. Don't have to pay.
And I'm Spike Ferguson, and I also like this sex cushion idea that we came up with today. I think that's also good. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a very special episode of Spike's Car Radio. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Peace out.
Real quick before we go, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse everybody, even you, Zuckerman. All you're looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
The Lakers are officially here on the official Lakers podcast on Podcast One Sportsnet. Join Emmy Award-winning sports reporter Susie Schuster and co-host Aaron Larsoul as they discuss the Lakers news of the day and break down the upcoming season with some of the biggest guests around, including Shaq, Magic, and the new king of LA, LeBron James. Check out the official Lakers podcast every week on Podcast One Sportsnet or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.